Praise God. I have a brief message here for you. Don't laugh. It is really brief. I mean it. I'm serious. Open your Bibles, please, to Genesis chapter 8, and we'll pray. Thank you, Father. Lord, we thank you for the Word of God, for the quickening that comes to our life. Thank you that we don't have to depend on feelings, goosebumps, or hair standing on end, but we have your Word as a sure anchor to our soul. And Father, when the feelings aren't there, we can lean on you because we know that you cannot lie, that what you say, you will fulfill. Yes. What you say is true. And we have learned to rely, come to rely on it, Lord, rely on your word and your great love for us. Now, Father, open our hearts. Speak to right where we're at today, Holy Spirit, as only you can do, in Jesus' name. Amen. Genesis chapter 8, verse 18. We're bringing a message to you today called Seed, Time, and Harvest. Three separate words. Yes. I know they're in the King James, it's one word, seed time, but which we're about to read here in a moment. Look at verse 18 of chapter 8 in Genesis. Noah went forth, and his sons and his wife and his sons with him. Where's he going forth from? From the ark. And remember, by this point, every living thing on the earth has been wiped clean. Okay, if you've ever been through a hurricane, a natural disaster, you know that mentally, emotionally, sometimes when you step out of your house afterwards, there can be a sense of overwhelm. Ever felt that? Like a slight sense of trauma, even though maybe your house didn't get damaged or what. You've just been through a lot, right? And imagine Noah stepping out into a world that is forever changed. And the only living creatures are the people and animals that stepped out of the ark with him. That's what the scene in which we find in Genesis chapter 8. Noah went forth, and every beast and every creeping thing, every fowl whatsoever creepeth upon the earth. There's lots of those. After their kinds, they went forth out of the ark, and Noah builded an altar to the Lord. I think that's so awesome. He took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake. For the imagination, or one translation says, even though the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done. Now look at verse 22. This is the key. While the earth remaineth, is the earth still remaineth? Yeah. Remaineth-ing? It's still here, isn't it? Seed time and harvest. Say that with me. Seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Now we see in the book of Revelation, if you read that a couple weeks back with us, there are some things that will change during those seven terrible years on the earth. There will be times in which the sun doesn't shine for a portion of the day, but it's still there. Amen. Right. God still fulfills this promise, even right up to the end. And the fact that, in some of those judgments, we see, for example, all a third of the grass and trees will be burned up. Well, there's still grass and trees here, right, to be even burned up. So God, even to the last days, will still be fulfilling this word. Amen. Even though he's bringing judgment on the earth in those times. But he says here, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, those shall not cease. I want to talk about that word first of all, seed time. The word seed time simply means sowing time. Amen. It is a King James word. In fact, it's the only mention of this word in the whole Bible. Seed time. Seed time. It really means sowing time, right? Real simply, it's the time that the farmer goes out to put the seed in the ground. And God says here, he says, as long as the earth remains, there will always be a time that the farmer needs to go out and do what? Sow the seed, right? The seed time will never go away. How many of you know, in a spiritual sense, for us as believers, there's a time that it's that the Holy Spirit nudges us and kind of taps us on the shoulder and says, it's seed time. In other words, it's sowing time. It's time to plant a seed in the ground. And that could be a financial seed, and many times it is. But it's not just limited to finances. God may say, I want you to sow your time with somebody today. Go have lunch with so-and-so. How many of you know, in this world, this fast-paced world, sometimes time is more precious than money, right? It's hard to get people to slow down and just, you know, will you give me 5 minutes of your attention? Maybe, you know. Time is very precious. And so God may tap you on the shoulder and say, it's time to sow some time. Have you ever sowed time because you're short on time? You know, we talk about and we teach in church, there's times that if we're short on money, what do? We sow money, right? That's an intentional giving. That's not giving with the wrong motive. That's what a farmer does. If he's hungry, what does he do? He goes out and sows the field, right? Like, I got to grow some wheat so I can have some bread to eat. That rhymes. I like it when things rhyme. That's just natural. I got to have whatever that went just a minute ago. But there's times that we have to sow for what we're lacking. And I want to encourage you. Maybe this is a new revelation for some of you today. But if you're ever really, you're finding, man, I'm just so short on time. I can't seem to catch up. It might be time to hit the pause button and find somebody to sow your time into. And it could just be a 5-minute phone call to somebody and listen to them.
That's good.
Right? Or text somebody. Reach out.
Amen.
Say, how you doing today? I was just had you on my mind. And I'm also sowing some seed, you know, I need some time here, right? It's okay to sow, you know, do it in love, do it sincerely. Don't be insincere about it. But there's a time to sow time into people's lives because you're short on time yourself and you'll see God give you back. Have you ever noticed that when you worship in church on Sunday, many times you go home and you kind of look around and you think, well, I really don't have much to do around here today. That's pretty cool. Why? Because you've sown your time worshiping the Lord at church. And all of a sudden you step back into your world and you find you're harvesting a harvest of what you've sown.
Yes.
It's pretty cool, isn't it?
Yes.
So you can sow time, you can reap time. But there's a time that the Lord says it's time to sow. Now our natural mind, our human mind, because it's always thinking need conscious, it will say something like this. Well, that means I'm giving something away, doesn't it? And so that looks like what? Subtraction. Diminishing. Mm-hmm. Right? Loss. But how many of you know when you sow in faith, it's never a loss?
Amen.
Amen. When you sow in faith, we think subtraction, God thinks multiplication. You were listening last week. Very good, class. God thinks multiplication because anytime you sow a seed in faith, it's going to come back to you in spades. Amen. When it's done right, when it's done with a right heart, it's done in faith, it's done in a spirit of love and reaching out to God in faith and trust. What you sow in faith will come back to you multiplied. Say multiplied.
Multiplied.
I'm telling you, you remember when you were in elementary school and you got from that grade where they taught 2 + 2 = 4 and all of a sudden you stepped into your times tables, multiplication tables they call them, right? And you got into that, you know, 2 × 2 = 4, 4 × 4 = 16. I mean, it made that additional math look like, you know, it's for the Cub Scouts, right? I mean, it just look childish. You're like, man, I know my multiplication tables now. I don't even want to go back to addition. Well, that's the way we ought to be in the kingdom, see? And we ought to not be looking at what can I do to accrue, but how can I sow and watch God take over and multiply? Because that's what we're called to be a part of, amen? Now, if he didn't promise it, you say, Pastor, it sounds like you're out to get. I want to tell you something. If he didn't promise it in the book, yes, we would be greedy to reach out for something he didn't promise. But if he promised it here, we'd be a fool not to go after it. Amen?
Yeah.
We'd be a fool not to go after what he's promised.
Yeah. Right.
So the scripture says here, seed time and harvest will continue. It takes discernment and a keen sense to know when it's seed time, when it's sowing time. It takes a sensitive heart. Sometimes it's not time to sow. Sometimes it's time to reap. And we'll talk about that probably another Sunday. But today's about seed time. Today's about sowing time. I want to say this. In the seed is miracle potential. This is what we sometimes overlook. Again, our natural mind says, well, if I give away $10, I'm out. You know, I lost something there. No, in that seed, if you really understood the potential that's in that seed when it's given in faith in the right soil, it has the power to change your life. I mean, radically. That's what God has created in seed time. Oh, if you're taking notes, I want you to write these words next to these three words. First, write seed, time, and harvest. Three words. Just write them side by side. Seed, leave a little space, time, and then the word harvest. Again, I know seed time here in the King James translation is one word, seed time. But I really believe what the Holy Spirit wants to say to us today is to break up that word into two words. Seed, time, and then what comes after? A span of time. Aren't you glad for the harvest, right?
Yeah.
Makes all that time worthwhile. Now, underneath those words, I want you to write these words. Under seed, I want you to write sensitivity. Sensitivity. Why? Because it takes a sensitive heart to know when it's time to sow. Doesn't mean you're anything special. You just have a listening ear to the Holy Ghost. If he says, give $50, you say, okay, check or cash, Lord. How do you want me to do it? You don't question the Lord. You just go.
Amen.
When he says to sow, you just go.
Amen.
That rhymes too. I like that. Under the word time, write the word mystery. Under the word time, write mystery. Because it is that mysterious part of the equation, is it not? Who can predict how long it will be before your harvest comes in? Mystery. And under the word harvest, I would like you to write the word expansion. Expansion. Because again, when you and I sow a seed in faith, it's always about God wanting to expand our life. Can you say amen? What did it say about Jesus? Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it dies, oh, it will bring forth a mighty harvest. And Jesus, with his very life, proved that, did he not?
Yes,
he sowed his very life into the heart of the earth. And for 3 days and three nights, he was dead and buried. And then what happened? Praise the Lord. The sons of God came forth.
Amen.
Right? He appeared to the 11. He breathed on them and gave birth to 11 sons right there in that moment. Whew. The harvest was already beginning. Amen?
Amen.
Then on the day of Pentecost, it was 120 total. And then it grew to 3,000. And it kept growing and growing. Why? Because that seed has miracle power at work in it, and it's still multiplying to this day. Amen? Every time a person gets saved and gives their heart to Jesus, what's happening? Jesus' death in that grave there at the cross and at Calvary where he was buried, that death is multiplying again and again and again. Praise the Lord. Wow. So it takes a sensitive heart to know when it's time to sow. Amen? Let me just hit on these 3 points real quick and we'll let you go. God supplies seed to the sower and bread for food according to 2 Corinthians 9:10. Write that reference if you want to go back and look at it later. 2 Corinthians 9:10. God says there, I supply bread. Let me read it again. I supply seed to the sower, bread for food. Seed to the sower and bread for food. Notice the order that God puts there.
Yes.
How many of you know when you come into the kingdom, you're going to have to change this. Your brain is going to have to undergo a renewal. Amen. What you thought before is going to be changed by God, because in God's kingdom, God prioritizes this. He says, I supply seed to the sower. So we have to take on a mentality of, I'm not living as a consumer, I'm living as a sower. Because God puts sowing ahead of our eating, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Did you know if you'll put sowing ahead of your own eating, your own consumption, you will do just fine? I shared with you last week the man Letourneau, who we've named a university after, right? Letourneau, I forget his first name, but somebody may know it. Mr. Letourneau. By the end of his life, he had flipped his financial situation to where he gave 90% of his income away and lived on the 10%. That's a man who put sowing ahead of consuming. God gives seed to the sower. So that changes our mindset, right? When you get paid, you look at your paycheck and you don't go, this is all for consumption. You go, a portion of this is for sowing. And you get excited because you know that portion that I sow according to faith and trusting God and by his leading is going to multiply back to me. And I'm going to get a paycheck next week, not because I work at this company, but because God is multiplying my seed sown. Amen? It's a change in mind. I'm a sower first, a consumer later. Generally speaking, the seeds in a fruit taste awful. My daughter pointed this out to me after last week's message. She said, you know, Dad, a really good analogy is this. If you take an apple and you eat a few bites, you go, wow, that's tasty fruit. You get to the middle and you start chomping on those seeds. Ooh, that's a whole different taste, isn't it? Kind of bitter. Why? Because those seeds were never made for eating. They were made for what? Planting, sowing. They're meant to be planted in the ground. Why? So that we can have more to eat. Remember this next time the Holy Spirit taps you on the shoulder and identifies seed in the moment and says, it's time to sow that. And instead of reacting with the word ouch, react with the phrase thank you. Why? Because God is looking out for your increase. Say increase.
Increase.
When God initiates sowing on your part, what is he doing? He's not trying to hurt you. He's trying to increase you. So people oftentimes say, Lord, please bless me. Men are good at this when they're younger and they're starting out in life. Lord, please bless me in my job. And then the company next week comes to them and offers them overtime. And they go, overtime? Man, I wanted to watch the football game Monday night. I don't want to be at work. What just happened? You just missed your harvest. You were praying for prosperity and God offered you overtime. What was he offering you? The opportunity for you to go and reap more of what you were praying for. Amen? So sometimes when we pray and look for God's increase, we got to be willing to work the harvest. Because it doesn't always look the way we thought it might look to us when it comes. Amen? You got to man up and harvest it correctly. Within the seed that you and I have to sow is a miracle potential. For example, if you drive downtown to Alvin, right behind the library, there's this huge, huge oak tree. It's National Oak Park. Did you know we have a national park in Alvin? I didn't know that until I researched it yesterday. It's national. It's not just statewide. Wow, it's a national park. And that tree, they say, it's about 16 feet in circumference. That is a huge oak. It ought to be national if it's 16 feet in circumference, right? Well, listen, that huge oak with such a big, big aroundness came from a little acorn about a half inch diameter. Think of it. That's the power of a seed. Say the power of the seed. It's amazing. God's miracle power is contained in the seed. Some of you sowed a faith seed last week and you're going, whoo, I hope I didn't miss God. I'm telling you, you didn't miss God. You're about to see explosive power on your behalf and your finances. It may not happen overnight, but it's coming. And when God's miracle power is in operation, we said this last week, we said this, and I want to repeat it. It's not rational. You can't explain it, but it's real. Thank the Lord. Amen. The results are real, and you can take them to the bank. Aren't you glad? Amen. When God's harvest comes into your life, it is for real. And it's tangible. Now, it takes faith to get it. In the meantime, what are we talking about? Seed, time, and harvest. The harvest is real, but that element of time, it takes faith because you're not seeing any change. It's not rational, but it's real. I hope you write that down. God's blessings are not rational. You can't explain them. How can you explain if you give 10% of your income in a tithe check to a church or to a ministry, and then at the end of the month, you got all your bills paid and then some? You lived on 90%, and before you were doing that, before you started tithing, you couldn't make it on 110% of what you were making. Yeah. It's unexplainable. It's not rational, but it's real, praise God. Amen. It's real. Proverbs 11:24, we looked at it last week. I just want to quote it to you. There is he that scattereth and yet increaseth. Those are two good King James words. Scattereth, which means to disperse abroad. Right? We talked about wide dispersal. Hey, listen, I want to encourage you as you grow in this thing of sowing, get good at sowing in every area. As I said, sowing time for others, sowing a smile when you're walking in a public place. You know, don't wait for someone to smile at you. You go ahead and start sowing. You initiate the smiles. That's an attitude of a sower. Yes. Amen. Sower says, I don't care if they love me, I'm going to love them first. That's right. That's a sower. It's a sowing mind. And God wants us to be scattering broadly, not just our finances. I'm talking about, again, time, kindness, acts of service. All these things are a form of sowing seed. Amen. So what you want to get going is this amazing harvest that when it starts coming in, it just overwhelms your life. Hey, man, isn't it great to be overwhelmed with harvest?
Yes.
That's an awesome experience. When God prompts you to sow, that's our part. And we would say that's the natural part. If God tells you to write a check, it's very natural. We're writing on paper, something that's tangible. It's something we do. It's our part. What God does with that seed is the super part. Yeah. Aren't you glad for the super part?
Yes.
God takes our natural and makes it supernatural. When he adds his super to it, isn't that awesome?
Amen.
I wrote down a few definitions for super. It means above. It means excess. And I love this one, T-O-O. Amen. That's a great word in the English language, isn't it? When you get it right. It took me a while to figure out T-O-O. The way I remember when to use T-O-O or just T-O is like if there's too many O's, right? If you're trying to say I've got too many of apples, you use the word T-O-O. You use two O's when you're saying there's more than I need. Okay? A little English lesson for you there. That's how I remember it. T-O-O is an amazing word. It says in Ephesians, God is able to do exceedingly abundant.
Yes.
exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think, by the power that's at work in us. Listen, when the power of God is at work in your seed, it's going to have some T-O-O power to it. It's going to be too much. It's going to be too exciting when that harvest comes in. It's going to be too amazing. It's just going to blow your mind, we say. You know, I don't know if that's the best way to say it, but it's going to be exciting. Praise the Lord. T-O-O is a great word. Look at Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. And let's talk a little bit about that mysterious word called time. They talk about that in the movie The Chosen. Remember when Jesus says, oh, there's that word soon. There's that idea of soon, all right? So we talked about the seed. Now we're talking about time, the mystery of time. Look at Mark chapter 4, verse 26. Get your highlighters, your pens out. I want you to circle some things here. This little parable, there's some really nuggets of truth here that should stand out for you and I. Mark 4, 26, Jesus said, so is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground. Who's that? It's us. We're sowers. Amen. We are those who cast seed into the ground. We're not afraid to sow. Verse 27, and should sleep. What is sleep? Yes. Sleep is a form of trust. Is it not? When you're sleeping, you're not stressing. Yeah. You're resting, right? You're resting in the Lord. That sleep is a real significant part of the equation. It says here, he should sleep and rises, how much? Night and day. And it might as well say night and day, night and day, night and day, night and day. Because how many of you know when you sow, there's a whole lot of night and days that go on between the time of seed, time, and harvest, right? And he says here, night and day, the seed should spring up and grow. He knoweth not how. I love that in the King James. Right, underline that or highlight that. He knoweth not how. Listen, we can't explain it. You can't explain how God takes your seed and multiplies it back to your life. It's supernatural, right? To quote Sid Roth, it's supernatural. But it is amazing. And as I said, it's not rational, but it's real. It will happen. And it says here, he does not know how, but the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, right? Because contained in that seed is the miracle power for its own production. First the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. Amen. He knoweth not how. Say that. He knoweth not how. So how long does it take to grow an oak tree? Well, you know, you can grow a sprig in a matter of weeks. It happens every week, you know, when it rains around my house. I've got this oak tree in the front yard, and these little acorns drop at the base right there where I've got that pretty mulch around the base. And every couple of weeks, these little sprigs will pop up, right? Just push up through the mulch. It's like, oh, looks like an oak forest in there. You know, so my yard guy has to get out there and pull those things up. And so that'll happen in a couple of weeks. You can have a broomstick-looking oak tree in a matter of months or a few years, right? But if you want the National Oak Park tree with a 16-foot circumference, you got to wait how long? About 200 years. So it depends on the size of your harvest, right? You see the point?
Yes.
See, sometimes we sow a seed, and in our mind we're thinking, oh man, if I could just get 50 extra bucks, that would help me so much. So I'm sowing this seed by faith. And God's going, you know what? In this moment, that seed is so precious to me, I'm going to give you way more than 50 bucks. But it might take a little time to grow it. Are you with me?
Yes.
We're thinking sprig, broomstick. You ever seen those scrawny little oak trees that just come up there about 2 inches around? I've grown two in my yard now, my front and my back, since I've been at the house 15 years. They've grown from, you know, that to, well, they're not that big. They're about that big. It gets bigger when you're preaching, okay? Just they're about a foot in diameter or more. But that takes some time. But there's times when God pours over that seed that we've sown, and he pours his love, and he says, I want to do something even bigger than what you expected. Aren't you glad? He's so good. He gives us a bigger harvest, I think, sometimes than we expect. Kenneth Hagin was quoted as saying this one time. It's not good English, but it makes good sense. God don't have no instant pudding. You know, there is a difference between instant anything and made from scratch, takes a little more time to make it kind of food, right? There is a difference in the taste, the end result. And again, if you want a bigger, more rich result, you got to give it a little more time. That's what we're talking about. Time. Seed, time, and then harvest, right? Seed, time, and harvest. I wrote this down. This is original, so you can take it and run with it. I won't sue you. Many times we miss the big show because we quit during setup. Now think about that. If they were doing a big production at, say, a Super Bowl event, right? Can you imagine the days in advance those engineers have to get in there and set up the speakers and the lights and the fog machines and all the special effects and things? This takes a long while to set up. Why? Because the size of the show determines the, you know, the extent of the setup. Are you with me? Many times we miss the big show because we quit during setup. You sow a seed, you're waiting for a harvest, and again, you think the harvest is going to be this big, and God says, oh no, I'm going to blow it up way bigger. But it takes a little more time. You got to wait. But aren't you glad when the show starts? A great show is worth the wait up for the setup. Praise the Lord. In fact, when we read that phrase in the Old Testament, seed time and harvest, I think in our Western mind, it's real easy to go seed time slash harvest. We want sowing harvest, you know? We want sowing time, and then right next door is just harvest. And God says, no. God operates this way. Seed, time. And it goes on. I don't have enough room here to really lay out the word time for you quite adequately. If we had a big sanctuary, I could do it. But the time part, that's the mystery. But that's when God's in operation. Amen. So let him do his thing.
Yes.
We knoweth not how. We rise day and night. And we sleep. What does that mean? You trust. Mm-hmm. So you wake up, say you have a bad day, and you start to dig up your seed as far as your faith. You say, oh, I don't know if this sowing thing really works. Oh man, I just feel like now we're really behind in our bills. Just give it time. Amen. Forgive yourself for stupid talk. And start the next day in faith, rising day and night, night and day, sleeping, trusting, resting in the process that God will do what he said he will do. Look over at Galatians chapter 6. I want you to put your eyes on this verse. There's a lot around it, but I just want to hone in on verse 9 of chapter 6 in Galatians. Galatians 6, 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season, say due season.
Due season. In
due season we shall reap if we faint not. Many times we don't reap. Why? Because God didn't come through for us? Come on, let's get real. Why do we not reap many times?
We faint.
We faint. Every seed has a season. Say that with me. Every seed has a season. And you and I don't necessarily know the season for that seed. Right?
Yeah.
We may think a month. God may say, I'm going to lay this out over a year, but you'll be excited with the results.
Yeah.
Say it again. Every seed has a season. And it says here, in due season, when the time is right, we shall reap if we don't faint. So who does God leave the harvesting up to? Who's the determining factor here? Is it him or us? It's definitely us. He's faithful. If he prompts you to sow a seed and you do it in faith and you do it in obedience, you can be sure he's going to fulfill his part.
Amen. Yeah.
The question is, will you fulfill yours?
Yeah.
What does it mean? Go to sleep. Rise night and day, day and night, night and day, day and night. And go to sleep again if you have to. Okay, put yourself back in that place of rest and trust.
Amen.
And know that you knoweth not how, but that seed will produce.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thirdly, I want to talk about the harvest. We talked about seed, the miracle power of a seed, like an acorn to a national oak park tree. Time, we get that. There's a mystery there. We probably don't want to talk about that all day. That's not the pleasant subject in today's matter. But there is time. And then we get the good part, which is harvest. And I told you the word there. I want you to connect with the idea of harvest is what? Expansion.
Mm-hmm.
Because when God brings the harvest to our life, it's not just addition. It's for our what? Multiplication or expansion. Amen? What is God doing? He's making us a greater sower. Wow. Imagine what God could do with the person, he or she, who really gets this. And becomes that wide dispersing sower that the scripture talks about. He scatters abroad and yet increases. The mystery of the scattering increase. Who can explain it? It's not rational, but it's real. Amen. There are people out there who really walk in this and they get it. And when they do, their life begins to explode. What is expansion? You know, the word explosion, the idea of an explosion, if you think of a stick of dynamite, an explosion is just in a simple definition, it's a rapid expansion of matter. A rapid expansion of any matter. So again, multiplication is much more powerful. You can gain more quickly in life by sowing than you could by saving. I love that phrase. It's not my original, but it's really good. You can get there faster by sowing sometimes in life than you can by saving up for yourself. Why? Because saving is what? It's just addition. You're just bringing in, you're piling it on, piling it on, piling it on. You're saving up for something. But when you sow a seed and God is able to multiply that seed, then there's explosive power, a rapid expansion. Amen. That changes the whole scenario and doesn't just give you what it was you were looking for in life, but it actually sets your life into a new dimension. You're altered. Why? Because now your faith has stretched with this increase. How many of you know faith is more valuable? The Bible says it's more precious than gold, though tried by fire. Your faith is more important than your reaping. You know, God's excited when you get, you know, that financial reaping comes to your life, that money that you didn't expect from who knows where, and it comes into your life and you go, wow, what an amazing blessing. God blessed me. God's excited for that, but he's looking down in your heart, and he's actually more excited about the faith that grew in your heart during that time you were trusting him. Are you with me? That's more precious to God than the actual blessing landing in your lap. It's the faith that your heart grew in. So we're talking about expansion. Think of it like this. You know, we could go, man, Lord, if I could just get the bills caught up this month and have a month's worth of groceries, I'd be really, really happy. And God's saying, I want to expand you so that you have all at once a year's worth of income. I mean, that's the way God thinks and more, right? I'm just using that as a really conservative example. God thinks a year's worth of increase in one fell swoop. And we're thinking, man, I just want to, you know, finish this month in the black. We just don't think the way he does. We think too small. Amen? Amen. Man thinks addition. God thinks multiplication. Say it again. God thinks multiplication. You're getting it. And in the harvest, he adds his super to our natural. Satan hates the seed. He hates it when you and I obey the Holy Ghost. When God says, sow that seed, Satan hates it. That's why he killed the Hebrew babies. He was looking for Moses because he knew there was a seed that was coming that would deliver Israel. And that seed, when you and I operate in obedience and in faith, it becomes our Moses, if you will, right? It becomes our deliverer in the situation. A seed sown properly can deliver your situation far beyond what you could comprehend. And God knows that. And the devil knows it too. And he hates that. He hates the potential. And he knows the potential. The question is, do we? Do you know the potential that's in your seed? It ought to excite you. I shared with you last week, there was a minister who's doing quite well now, but back in the day, he was really, really hurting so much that one day he was in a church service and they took an offering. He didn't have a dime to give. So he took the pencil out of the chair back in front of him, put it in the offering envelope and sewed that by faith. He sewed the pencil. He sewed their own pencil. I mean, does that count? But it worked. Praise the Lord. God began to pour back into him and into his life. And that was the beginning of him operating in this idea of sowing, sowing, sowing. Remember, God has not called you and I to be consumers. He's called us to be sowers. Amen. We're sons of, after created after Jesus. And what was Jesus' mission? Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die. It abides alone. He sowed his very life. And that's it. That's our example. We sow our life constantly. I'm not just talking about money today. We're not even taking an offering this afternoon. Okay, it's done. It's already done. So put that aside in your mind. It's not about money. It's about sowing our life. Yes. Are you with me?
Yes.
And we said last week, I want to reiterate this because again, you know, people have this horrible outlook toward preachers, like they're always after money. No, we're after your whole life. Why? Because we have learned God's called us to the ministry. God's called us to lay down our life. And so we're setting the course. We're setting the example. We're moving into what, you know, naturally is averse to us as well. Why? Because the man always wants to preserve himself. And so God's teaching us as fivefold ministers to sow our lives into the kingdom. And by example and by our teaching, we do what? We teach you it's about Jesus once your whole life.
Yeah.
We're not selling a cheap gospel here. We're not telling you, oh, you know, God will just take what you give him. No, he won't. He wants your whole life.
Yeah.
Anything less than that's a cheap gospel. We're not preaching that in this house.
Yeah.
Satan knows the potential of the seed. Do we? Do we understand the potential of the seed? And God wants to create in us a heart that says, I'm a sower. Yes, God knows sometimes we need some consuming, right? Jesus himself, he told his disciples once, he said, let's pull apart and take some time out to rest. So Jesus understood there's times to, recharge. We understand that concept in today's world. We got these cell phones. I have to constantly be recharged. And Jesus knew his disciples needed recharging now and then. And you and I need filling now and then. We need something to eat. We need something to consume. God is aware of that. But notice again the priority. He said he gives seed to the sower and then bread for food.
Yes.
And that should be our priority as well.
Yes.
I wasn't going to look at this scripture, but the Holy Spirit keeps nudging me toward... we're done with Galatians 6. Flip back about a book or so to 2 Corinthians 9. He wants you to see this. Look at the last part of 2 Corinthians 9:10. I've been quoting that to you here about God gives seed to the sower, but the Lord wants me to highlight the last part of this verse. It's very important for you to see. He gives seed to the sower. You there? 2 Corinthians 9:10. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also, look at what he says here, supply and increase, not your pantry, not your refrigerator.
Yeah.
What?
Your
store of seed.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because at that point, God realizes you're starting to get it.
Mm-hmm.
You're becoming a sower, not just a consumer.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to increase your store of seed, and this will do what for you? It will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness.
Yes.
God's after your increased harvest, more and more in life. And so we have to move beyond this idea. I know that, listen, everybody starts at a baby stage and we move, we progress. So I know we got to understand, we have to first see God work in very practical ways in our life. God, I can't pay my bills this month. And God says, sow 50 bucks. You sow 50 bucks and by the end of the month, you get this $500 check. And God is happy, you're happy, the bill collectors are happy. That's a good infant stage of this experience. But God is saying, I want you to move beyond that to where your needs are taken care of and you're not even thinking of your needs. You're thinking of how can I have an increased harvest? And continue harvesting and harvesting and harvesting and sowing not just for the things around me, but for the world. Have you noticed this about the kingdom, that the more you do in the kingdom, the more you realize needs to be done? The more we give to missions from this church, the more I realize the mission field needs so much money. It's just, we've scratched the surface, you know. We give to Israel on a monthly basis. And I've been praying, Lord, lately, just, you know, show me more, Lord. Where else? What else do you want to do in Israel? Because Israel's going to be the highlight of the last days. So we're going to be right there with what God's interested in the last days, blessing his people, the Jews, with the gospel. But God wants to increase our store of seed. He wants to turn us into such a sowing-minded people that we're not even thinking any longer about the food we need to consume for ourselves. We know God will take care of that. We've grown. Do you see the progression? You grow beyond, Lord, will you please take care of my needs? Now we start there. We all start there. But you got to grow past that. To a person who's constantly looking, God, bring me more seed. Bring me more seed. Not bring me more to consume, but bring me more seed so I can sow for a bigger harvest.
Yes.
Well, I'm getting ahead of probably where I should be. But anyways, that's where we're going.
Okay.
Say this after me. Don't give up on your seed.
Don't give up on your seed.
The Lord doesn't want you to give up on your seed. Some of you sowed last week in faith toward the building fund. Obviously, that's where we're going to put the extras that came in last week. It's going to go toward this building project. And God wants you to be committed to your seed. Don't get weary. Don't faint in your mind. Don't think that God's overlooked it or he forgot about what you gave or you know, he's got other things on his mind. No, God is mindful of every sacrifice. Amen. And he will keep good records. He will keep good books for you and I. And if you will stay committed to what you've sown in faith, God will stay committed to it in Jesus. Amen. Well, time is required for the harvest. As I said earlier, the longer the setup, the greater the show. So if it's been a while since you sowed your last seed faith, you know, whatever that was, that seed of faith that God prompted you to sow, if it's been a while, just realize the harvest is going to be awfully good when it gets here. Wonderfully good. Amen? In Jesus. One last scripture. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews, a bunch of books to the right from where we're at. Hebrews 10. It's still young enough in the year for you to read a good chunk of the Bible this year. I want to encourage you to do that. We're on a reading plan here. We're just about to finish Matthew, I think it is. What a great gospel Matthew is. We read Revelation and some other books recently. But if you don't have our Bible bookmark, it's on our app. It's on our website. You can go there and print out or just look at the PDF in real time and see where we're at, the chapter of the day. Read a chapter of the day Monday through Friday with us. You'll be amazed what the Word of God will begin to produce in your life as you pour it in and pour it in. Where are you? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35. Commercial's over. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward, for you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive. Say receive. Hey, it's what we're all after. Amen. We don't sow just to cast things to the wind. We're all after the harvest. And God knows that. As I said earlier, if he didn't promise it to us, we couldn't expect it. And we couldn't put our hopes and our faith on it. But if he promises a harvest, then we should go after that harvest. Amen? And he says here, your confidence will have great recompense of reward. That means it will be rewarded. Verse 36, ye have need of patience. Now, I'm not going to look at anyone in particular when I say that, but that's what the Word of God is telling us today. Somebody in here probably needs patience. That after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he quotes this quote from the Old Testament, for yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. That's an amazing statement. Because over and over in the book of Revelation, Jesus said, at the last part of the book, he says, behold, I come quickly. Mm-hmm. And it's been how long? 2000. Just 2,000 years. But as I said earlier, the longer the setup, the greater the show. And when Jesus comes for his church, it's going to be glorious. The trumpet will sound. The dead in Christ will rise bodily first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet him in the air. It's going to happen quickly. When it finally gets here, we're going to go, oh my goodness, was I ready? Why? Because even though it's been 2,000 years, the show will not disappoint. And that's what this verse says here, right? For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come. Say, will come. And he will not tarry. Listen, God's just as excited for you to get the harvest as you are, and more so. He's blessed by your blessing. And he who is coming will come and will not tarry. That means he will not delay. Verse 38, now the just shall live by faith. That's a quote from the Old Testament. It's found several places in the Bible. The just shall live now, how? By faith. What's that? That's that sleeping, rising, day and night, night and day. You know not how, but the seed is growing. That's that time period in which we are keeping our faith turned on for the seed and the harvest. Amen? Now, it says, I like that in the King James, now the just shall live by faith. So in the meantime, what do? We just live by faith.
That's right.
And we stay in faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition. We are of those who believe to the saving of the soul. Or you could say it this way. We believed all the way to the harvest.
Yes.
That's who we are.
Amen.
We're harvesters. Amen?
Amen.
And if God said it and we're believing for it, we know he'll do it if we faint not.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. You can stand together with me. This afternoon is going to be grand. We've got two candidates going to go under the water. I'm going to come up out of the water, praise God, because after the death and burial of Jesus, there was a resurrection. And that water baptism is like a picture of the Red Sea experience. When Israel went through the Red Sea, they came out on the other side. They went from bondage to freedom. They went from being chased to enemies no more. Aren't you glad? That's what water baptism symbolizes. All of our enemies have been put under that water. Amen? That watery grave. So if you've not yet been water baptized, please, you just bring your bathing suit and a towel and come this afternoon. Join us at James and Cindy's house, 2 o'clock. We'll talk about things, and then we'll baptize you at 2:30. So see my wife afterwards if you want to sign up for that. Listen, I believe there's some people here that you've been really languishing over your seed. You've given, you've trusted, you've prayed. Maybe you've got some kids that are wayward, whatever it is. And you've been planting seed, you've been watering that seed, and you just haven't seen anything yet. And the Holy Spirit just wants to give you a little stamina today. He really wanted me to emphasize that word time. Seed, time, and harvest. Right? Because sometimes it feels like that time part's just going on for eternity. But God knows. And God's preparing a great harvest for your life. So with your heads bowed for just a moment, I just want to pray for you. If you're here today, you say, Pastor, that's me. I've got some seed in the ground. I've got some prayers I've been praying for people I love. I've got some financial situations. I've been sowing seed faithfully. I've been believing. I've been putting my faith out there. I haven't seen a thing yet. And today you're in that situation and you need just some encouragement by the Holy Ghost. If that's you today, just raise your hand real high just so I can see it. I'm going to pray for you in particular. And thank you. Thank you for your honesty. And God knows where you're at, and He's gonna work on your behalf. Amen. Father, we thank you today that you are aware of what we're trusting you for. And we can lean on you, Lord. You never fail. You do your part, Father. It's our flesh that often faints long before the harvest. So God, I'm asking for just a stamina today to come by your Holy Spirit. A grace to come to us to fulfill the words of Mark chapter 4, to simply sleep and rise day and night, night and day, day and night, because we don't know how, but that we believe that seed is going to bear fruit. And Lord, I thank you today that you breathe on us, breath of God right now. Just reach out and receive by faith right now what I'm praying for. Lord, breath of God, give us strength. Breath of God, give us stamina, give us patience to endure to the harvest, because it will not tarry, it will come. That is your promise. And we thank you, Lord. We can rejoice in it now. We can look ahead with our eyes of faith. With our natural eyes closed, we can look ahead with eyes of faith and see the rejoicing of that harvest day and know that you are faithful. You will bring it about. Thank you for doing it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for strength. Strength for your people today, Lord, to be harvesters and to prove your goodness in these areas. Now, if you're here today, just real quick, and you say, Pastor, I'm not a Christian. I'm not born again. I need to make Jesus the Lord of my life, or I want to rededicate my life to the Lord. I've been away from him lately, and I'm coming back. If that's you, if you just raise your hand real quick, I want to pray a prayer that we can all pray together and do that. We can give our life to the Lord from our hearts. Anybody at all, you say, I want to give my life to Jesus. I'm not born again, but I want to be saved today. I want my sins washed away. And this is your moment to do that. Anybody at all? Well, let's just pray this prayer together. Father, we thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross in my place. To shed his blood so I could go free. I receive forgiveness of sins by that precious blood. And I believe on the third day you raised him from the dead. He is seated now at your right hand. And he will return again for me and for all your children. I call him my Savior today. And my Lord today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you. We're going to have a great time around the pool. We need some witnesses. So if you don't have plans this afternoon, it's a whole lot more exciting than a football game or whatever. Terry, got one more announcement? You got any more announcements? Is there anything Wednesday night we need to announce? No? Okay, we're good. Bless you. Have a great day in the Lord. We'll see you soon.